Oh, wow. Your tits are stupendous.
Welcome back to Horror Hunks, where we talk about the horror movies we love and the hunks we lost. I am the leftovers on the writing room floor that were swept up with a broom and thrown some titties in and called a remake. Stuart Forrest. Did you guys like that one?
Oh, shit. I was like so ready, and then you did that. I have to stop. Hold on.
I'm literally crying, Stu.
I can't talk. Shit. And I'm the under... Nope. And I'm the criminally underrated reimagining of the 80s horror classic, Chris Waltz. Funny that we're all here together. We have a guest this week. I'm so thrown off right now. My friend, our friend, Ethan is here. Ethan, say hi.
Hello, hello. I'm so happy to be here on your creepy little podcast talking about all the hunks that we want to maim with our tongues.
Oh, man. You also sound like a serial killer right now. That's great. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Did I ask you that already? Okay.
I'm well. How are you? How are you, Chris? Are you able to breathe? Do you need an oxygen tank?
I do, always. Oh, it's the age. I'm so old. Okay. We're talking about the Friday the 13th from 2009. Here's the thing. Everybody calls this movie a remake. I call it a remake sometimes, but I am adamant that it's actually not a remake. I think it's either just like a straight up reimagining or a like spiritual sequel to the original. Don't know if y'all have thoughts on that, but it's not a remake, right?
If you couldn't tell by my intro, I have thoughts on it.
Yeah. I could tell. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this in general? Just because everybody calls it a remake, but it's not. Not to be like a film snob, but it's not a remake.
Ethan, I'll let you go first.
Yes. Yeah. So I kind of agree in on both ends, to be honest with you, because we can look at it as a remake in the sense that it definitely replicates the first film. But honestly, it only replicates the first film in the first, 5 minutes?
If that,
yeah. And then to me, it's kind of a remake of the first four films. There are elements of the first four films in this one.
There 100% are, and it kind of goes through like the some like very specific beats of the first four Friday the 13th. But like none of the characters are reoccurring from any of the original movies except for Mrs. Voorhees for 30 seconds and Jason Voorhees. Everybody else is a completely brand new character.
Mm-hmm. And so,
is a very loose term. There are people on a screen and that's basically it.
Oh yeah. Man, we're going to talk about that. Also, I just want to throw out there, we got so excited and so kind of like giddy about Stu. Ethan, how do we know each other? I've known Ethan for 10 years?
Yeah, I would say 10 years. I would say at least 10 years. Honestly, just social media circles. I'm pretty sure we found each other because of Twitter.
Yeah, we definitely were Twitter friends, and then now we're like everything friends.
Yeah. My day's not complete if I don't talk to my Chris.
No, exactly. We're in our writing group together now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a group chat with our friend Zach, who's also going to be on the show at some point. We don't know when yet.
I love it. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, so I've known Ethan forever. We've never met in person because he lives semi-far away from me.
Yes.
But I've also never met Stu in person, and he lives like an hour away. So. And Stu and I actually met on a dating app. So it's a small world. We're just all like meeting through social media.
And that's absolutely true. How do queers meet these days? Social media.
Yeah, social media or OkCupid, if you're me and Stu.
I would count that as social media.
No,
I
would count dating apps
as social media.
No, it totally is. And like most of my, here's the thing, a lot of my friends who I don't know like from either like high school or college or like work are social media people.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of my people are social media.
Well, and I think it kind of can boil down to simply just the fact that, I mean, we're all from pretty rural areas, rural urban Midwestern areas. And I think that it's so hard to find a tribe of people with like minds around us and in such a large space that it's so easy for us to find the people that we mesh with on social media, because we have access to look for people who are into our shared interests. And it just makes it so much easier to find those people that we connect with, even if it is an hour away or 12 hours away.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. Absolutely. I 100% agree. Okay, back to the movie. Sorry for that tangent, but so where do we land with what this movie is then?
A hot mess.
Oh God. Stu, you're coming in hot. I'm going to say.
Oh, Stu's going to have some negative takes, it feels like.
Stu, do you like this movie?
Okay, well, let me start by saying I am a ADHD, anxiety-riddled mess. I seriously thought the entire movie happened in the first 10 minutes. I watched it and literally thought I watched an entire movie. And then when like it kept going, I was very confused. Mm-hmm. Extremely confused.
It's so funny because I watched it with my sister today, actually, because I was at her house this morning. And she like it gets through that like 30 minute intro. And she's like, it's just now showing the title. And I was like, yeah, that's just like the intro to the movie. The rest of it is still to come. And she was like, that's weird.
I thought the title card was like
the end.
I literally thought it was the end. And I like went to get up and then it kept going. And I was like, wait a second. Is it another movie? Like plugged in? Because, you know, I watched it on a not so pay to watch site. So I was a little confused. And then it kept going. And then I was even more confused because I'm like sitting there watching it. I was just like, Jared Padalecki never showed up.
Why is his name on this? Where is he?
Sorry. Come on, Chris.
That's one of the things that I absolutely love about this movie is that we get like a 30 minute short film at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I agree entirely.
I hated that.
And that's okay. I would have liked it
if it were like a little bit shorter and had less characters. So like we'll go ahead and talk about this like super weird intro, because I think maybe one of the only this movie is full of intentionals. This was the most like studio made movie I've ever seen. I think all of the characters that they introduce in the beginning are supposed to be unlikable.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we've got that nerdy guy who is like either a nerd or a stoner. I'm not sure, but he is just super annoying. And
Wade.
Yeah, I don't know. Meat Puppet 1. I was just glad when he died. But then we have the pretty boy Jock, who is like talking to the girl with the fake boobs.
Richie.
And okay, when they're like talking by the campfire and she's like just like taking her tits out
and oiling them.
It is the
yeah.
She's oil. She pulls out a bottle of baby oil and just starts oiling them up. And I'm like, you know what? That's a fire hazard, girl.
That's
like,
a fire hazard.
Well, it does become a fire hazard for her 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Full circle. But
the nerdy friend is sitting right there and she like acts like she's all bashful when he like turns around. Like he could turn around at any moment. But then he's like sitting there like pantomiming like that he's gonna fuck her so hard and like doing things there, and he's very attractive, and there's something really queer about all that pantomiming he was doing.
Oh, he's got a gaze too. He's got a gaze.
Yes.
Like I don't know. I didn't even look up who the actor is. You know, I don't want to make assumptions, but I would not be surprised if he was actually gay, or you know.
That's Ben Feldman, and I think that he's probably pretty straight, but I don't know him.
Yeah, right. He's straight with 2 kids.
Okay. Oh, well, I mean,
good for him, but RIP for me.
That doesn't mean anything. I know a couple guys with a couple kids, so.
Oh, my God. I will also say I saw this movie in the theater when it came out.
Same, and Chris.
Not knowing what that first 30 minutes actually was, not knowing that it was just the intro to the movie, there was a point, and it was probably around like the oily tit part, where I was like, I can't do this. This is awful. These characters are awful. I hate this. And then we get to see them all just get mutilated within like 5 minutes of each other. And I realize like, oh my God, this isn't the movie. Like the movie hasn't started yet. And I kind of like that about it.
See, yeah, I totally agree. And it's really funny that you bring up seeing it in theaters because, you know, something that I had wrote down when I was watching it today was just, the opening is honestly one of my favorite parts of the movie because when it came out, I remember seeing the trailers and the trailer cuts off with that final shot of Jason swinging his machete at Whitney. And then it just cuts to the title for the trailer. And I remember being so hype to just be like, I cannot wait to see what that machete does to her in that moment.
And it doesn't do anything.
Then, seeing it in theaters, I just remember being like, oh my God, here it comes, here it comes. And then just, it was straight up just like cock blocked. I was, oh my gosh, I was so angry. But then I was like, I'm a slut for a prolonged opening scene. I'm a slut for a 30 minute in title card, though. I'm just like, okay, that's how we're starting. I'm in.
No,
I'm in.
Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily care about it in other movies. I can't think of another movie off the top of my head where they do it. But I feel like maybe Ghost Ship has like a pretty long intro, but I can't remember how long it is for sure. But my whole thing was like kind of to what Stu was saying about like these characters are the most annoying people. I feel like they very purposefully made them like horror movie tropes. Because these characters, all but one of them are going to be dead in like 20 minutes. Now, the issue that I do take is so we have that 30-minute intro with those really unlikable, tropey characters. But then when the movie actually starts, we also get very unlikable, tropey characters. And I kind of wish that we would have had more realistic characters in that second part.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So with the first group, just trying to keep track, because here's the thing. I was making my list earlier. I was chatting with Ethan about it. This is the most hunks we have ever had in an episode. And it may be the most hunks we ever have in an episode ever, because there's two groups of people. So from the first group, just to kind of like summarize, we have Wade, who is Jonathan Sadowski. He's the nerdy stoner guy who's looking for the weed. He dies first. We have Richie, who is Ben Feldman, who I think I may be getting confused with Ben Schwartz because they're the same person. And then there's Mike, apparently, which is Manel. I don't remember anything about him except for he's the one who like gets pulled through the floorboards.
Oh, I completely forgot about him.
Yeah.
Oh, so my gosh.
There's three main hunks from the first section of the movie, and I feel like I personally feel like Richie is the only like memorable one, but that may not, I don't know how Ethan feels.
The mic erasure that is happening right now is
tell me
just,
about this man. Who is this
oh
man?
Oh my gosh. He, well, to start, he's a Capricorn. And no, I'm just kidding. I just like Mike, I love a man with curls. And he has those just lusciously long curls. And then he's just, like, actually putting himself in front of the danger for Whitney. And poor boy gets put through it.
No, he's very sweet.
He gets a machete to the foot, machete to the hand, gets pulled through the floor, guts ripped out. Like, he honestly, I thought that his death in the first, like his death of the first group of hunks was definitely the most undeserved.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I will say there's in a horror movie situation, not that there's anything hot about what's happening to these people, but there's nothing hotter to me when somebody's last words are run because it means they care about my safety. They want me to make it.
Yeah,
and he told Whitney, he said, run. And then he got pulled into the floor. And I was like, oh, he's a good guy.
And the actor, Nick Minnell, he was in Rob Zombie's Halloween, the first Halloween, because he was Bob. And I just remember they, like, his hair was so, like, long and flat, and they tried so hard. I don't know why Rob Zombie tried to make those men ugly in that movie, but, like, he was gorgeous, even in that, trying to look scrubby.
Like, I think we have to talk about the, not right now, like, it's not the episode. We need to do an episode on the Halloween remake, because there's a character in that movie. I don't know his name, but he's, like, Judas boyfriend in the beginning. And he's, yeah, like, but the nastiest, grubbiest man, yeah, but, like, he's so hot.
I know.
And I can't, I don't understand it.
I know. Anyway.
So here's the thing. This is something we have to decide, and we can decide it as a group. Do we want to rank these hunks separately, like group one and group two? Do we want to write off? Do we want to write off the first group because there's, like, they're not important, or do we want to just mix them in all together?
It's horror hunks. We're talking about hunky guys, so whatever.
Yes.
I mean, I'll rate them however I rate them.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just So kind of as a little tease for what's to come, let's just rank those three from the intro first. Ethan, as the guest, you can start us off.
Oh, okay. So, should I just say who my, like, in order of hotness?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I won't give my, like, reasoning, like, my final reasoning till the end. Okay. But I would definitely say group one, Richie Green Eyes, super over horny crazed, I'm gonna fuck you oil boobs, number one.
Okay.
And then number two is definitely Curly Mike, because we love a man that sacrifices himself. And then at the very bottom of that pop pool is Wade, because he's Radiohead's overrated.
Okay, yeah. Mine's the same ranking. I did assign them numbers. Richie, I gave him like a 7 out of 10 because there's something about like a doofy face that I just love. And he has like a doofy look to him. I don't know what it is. Again, he gives me Ben Schwartz vibes, and I'm in love with Ben Schwartz.
Is doofy a word you can use? Edit that line. Edit me asking that question out. But is
it, no? It's just like it's like a doofus. It's just like he's doofy. He's goofy and doofusy.
Special Officer Doofy reporting.
Yeah, it's not problematic, is it? I'm not gonna get canceled.
Well, that's doofy. What I thought of was Special Officer Doofy.
I think it's just like a word. I'll vet it before I edit the episode. My second place was Mike. I gave him a 5 out of 10, but next to his name I wrote who? Question mark.
Yeah.
And then Wade got a 4 out of 10 because, like, he was obnoxious, and it doesn't matter how cute you are. If you're annoying, it drops you down to, like, the bottom of the barrel for me. Stu, how do you feel?
Oh, well, I completely forgot about Mike, so we're going to give him 0 out of 100 for being memorable. Wade was just annoying as fuck. But firstly, I have to ask, because this was, what, 2009? What was going on with weed in 2009? Was that, like, the beginning of, like, legislation for it? Because they talk a lot about weed in this. They go out of their way to get weed in this.
2009, I'm going to say, was kind of like a weird cultural height for weed. The TV show Weeds was like in its heyday, and I feel like it was just like cool to be a stoner in 2009.
Wow. Okay. Well, that explains that. Wade, super annoying. He doesn't even go on my list. Horny boy, Richie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's over the top horny. And, you know, I kind of like that energy. So I'm going to give him 10 out of 10 boners.
I 100% thought you were going to say, like, 10 out of 10 oily boobs.
No, because I'm not into the oily boobs. But remember the part where he's like, they're banging. And she's like, you got to go outside. And he's like, I'm not walking out there with a boner.
The realism. We don't get enough of that in movies on ever. Like,
I'm sorry, always... if I'm No, if I'm having sex with somebody in a tent and we're hearing scary noises, the boner's gone. So I don't have to worry about walking with a boner because it's going to go away.
Oh, see, I'm not.
No.
I would still go outside. But what I found unrealistic is that he went outside in full clothing. If it were me, I'd be wrapping something around myself or throwing on a pair of underwear and going outside.
Stu, have you seen X?
Yes.
There's like two or three characters in that movie who go to investigate things in their underwear or completely naked. And it's Stu realism right there.
Oh, same. I would go out sword swinging. Like, because, just
like, what if you go out of your tent and it's just your horny nerdy friend out there, like, beaten off like you've already thought? Like, yeah. Why,
then you just
why
go have to the that effort? Moment. Yeah, but then you could just have that moment and just go together.
That's and you guys are both saying that during this whole situation, you're going to stay rock hard.
Adrenaline.
It depends. I mean, I'm not into the oily fake boobs, but I maybe Richie, yeah. If it were Richie, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
I would be soft honestly as a slug.
If I were to really think about it, if it were like nerdy dorky friend who is just undefined in what genre he falls into, and I'm really going at it, but this person that I'm doing it with is like, you're not getting any until you go investigate, I might not put anything on. The very sight of my, like, walking around with, you know, a boner just might be enough to scare whatever's going on outside to leave us the fuck alone.
So you're saying you have a frightening erection?
I don't even think it'd be frightening. I think it'd just be annoyed.
All right.
Yeah. No, my only last thoughts I have on Richie are, I'm really glad that you guys said that he is giving off major gay undertones, because that was always something that I thought too. And I wrote in my notes, gay with 10 Ys.
Well, his whole pantomiming and like mouthing to the girl is like very over the top.
When I think comparatively to the other guys in that segment of the movie, he's almost like a little overly manicured. And I think, like, not that there's, it's 2023, people can look and dress however they want and they can identify however they want. We don't care. But I feel like in 2009, if you had like tweezed brows and you were a guy and you had like very obvious, like you moisturize every day, it just kind of gave off a vibe in that era.
Good point.
So I feel like, I don't know, I just got that from him, and you know, it's cool. He likes the big fake boobies, and that's okay.
Sure.
Crispy tots.
So then we get our title card, and we enter into the kind of like actual movie, and I really wish I could tell you how it starts, but I've completely forgotten.
It starts like every other studio-made horror slasher. There's a bunch of horny teenagers going to spend a drunken, drug-fueled weekend at a rich friend's cabin.
I'm just going to throw out there, I don't think these are teenagers. I think they're like college
graduates. These are 30-year-olds pretending to be some kind of early 20-something.
Yeah, if one of them has a motorcycle, like, he's 28 at least. But, you know, their ages are left ambiguous. We assume that they're probably college-aged for this movie. Who knows, to be honest.
Maybe that's why I'm so annoyed with all of them, because they all look like adults, but they're acting like children.
Yeah, no, yeah. I totally agree, Stu. I've always gotten the vibe that they were supposed to be teenagers. Always. And that's why it always kind of creeped me out to watch it and, like, oogle at everyone. Because I'm like, wait, are they supposed to be just rich teenagers?
One of them literally looks like a 45-year-old man. So, yes. I don't know. But okay, so essentially they're the group of, they're like the main group of people, teens, young adults, whatever they are, the main group of people are going to this like cabin in the woods as a weekend getaway. And then they kind of happen across Clay, who is Jared Padalecki's character, looking for his missing sister. I wonder what happened to her. And so that kind of like sets up the story. That is another reason why I feel like, oh, never mind. I was thinking, sorry, sidebar. I was thinking like, oh, this is not something that happened in any of the other Friday the 13th movies, but I think in part three or part four, he is looking for his missing sister. So one of the things to keep in mind about this movie is that it kind of combines those first four movies together. I guess Ethan's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sorry, I got way off track on that thought.
It's okay. You can edit in post.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, none of that staying in. Anything that makes me sound stupid doesn't stay in. You guys, on the other hand, you're on your own.
But... oh, I keep anything that makes me sound stupid.
Yeah.
So, okay. Essentially, the plot of this movie boils down to we've got a group of horny young people in a cabin in the woods, and they stumble across Jason Voorhees, and they start getting, you know, taken out. Like, what else is there to the plot of this movie other than Clay is looking for his missing sister?
That is the only plot point of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
But that's not a bad thing.
I mean, okay, so my main beef with this movie, I like that they have little elements of the original, like, movies all, like, sprinkled in, but there's just too many people. Like, if you're going to make a remake, like, do something fresh and, like, cinematography. Like, take a look at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake that gets shit on constantly. It is a gorgeous movie. It is one that you can easily watch and stay interested in and know what's going on and who it's happening to. This is one of those movies that it is definitely not. It looks like the film looks way too crisp for a horror movie. I am not the least bit afraid, kind of annoyed. And there's too many damn people. I don't even know all the characters' names. I just know them by my own little, like, mental nicknames that I gave them because I can't keep track.
Yeah, and I feel that in a sense because when we talked about a few episodes ago, we talked about The Covenant and how it was kind of on the precipice of that, like, everything has to be extreme era of movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this was very much on the tail end of that. But even, like, the wakeboarding scene, we have, like, the blaring rock music and I don't remember her name because I what's her name?
Blonde girl.
Are you talking about the character or the actress?
The character. Both. I don't know.
Oh, well, the actress is Willa Ford because she is iconic. But
she's the wakeboarding girl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the wakeboarding girl, you know, she's getting that scene, one, boobies out, which I feel like would be very painful when wakeboarding.
That's thank you.
Yeah, so she's like, you know, we have that whole situation where, but again, it's like loud blaring rock music. This is so extreme. This is so cool. And I think that this movie kind of has a, like, is on the edge of that even more so than the Covenant was.
Her name is Chelsea, just FYI.
Cool. Never knew that.
No. But what is her hunky, semi, surfer-esque dude's name?
Nolan.
Because he is nice to look at. He is terribly written.
He
kind of seems like he's supposed to be a dumb surfer stoner, but...
Do you want to know what this man is?
What is this man?
He is a Corbin Fisher, Sean Cody stereotype, and that's all.
Absolutely.
Yes, he is.
How many videos how many videos have we seen where it's just like no-name surfer guy with shaggy blonde hair? Like, he's very much that, and that's okay. I'm into it, but... I'm
very into it.
Like, the kind of gives off, like, the gay for pay vibes.
Oh, 100%. Definitely. He's bait bus material, for sure.
Yeah, I wrote specifically in my notes about Nolan that the lights are on, but no one's home.
I don't get that from him, though. That's the thing. I don't get that from him.
Because he's terribly written. Because he's supposed to seem like that. But then he says things that are smarter. Like, when they're in the car and he's like, why is it when he's like, don't drive my boat? I'm just like, dude, I'm totally going to drive the boat. Like,
no, that's like, I'm like, he's smart, actually.
Oh, because he can drive a boat?
No, because he knows, like, oh, this guy doesn't want me to do this and I'm going to do it, but he's self-aware of it. Like, he's not, like, dumb. He just kind of has that persona.
He's, like, absolutely self-aware while also trying to play stupid.
What does that sound? What does he say? He's like, what does that say about me?
She's like, means you're a sociopath.
Oh, my God. The cheesiest line in the movie.
What does it say about me that I think that's kind of hot?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes, I agree with her, but...
Ethan, as far, like, if you didn't know, Stu loves a good sociopath.
Okay, I mean, that's really good to know.
We love a mentally ill king, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's 2023.
Yeah, and I think Nolan falls into that camp of, like you said, he is poorly written. He's what makes me unhappy with this movie in the sense of, like, he is a stereotype of a trope of a character, and we don't need that in this second portion of the movie. We need more, like, realized characters, because we had all of those in the first section. So I kind of wish they had done a little better with the character work. I will agree.
Well, I don't think they do, because he immediately bites it. He gets an arrow through the back of the head.
Love that scene, by the way. Love that moment.
I think the bigger problem, though, with this film is exactly what Stu said and what we both agree on, Chris and I. It is just that there's too many characters.
Oh, there are way too many.
The film is a brisk 90 minutes, or like 95 minutes, and then the killer cut is like an extra 10 minutes, I think, 10, 15 minutes, and it adds nothing other than more bouncing boobs, which are stupendous, by the way, but...
Let me just say, uncomfortable to watch with your sister.
Oh, gotta be.
Yeah, that was not fun. But so again, getting a little back on track.
Yep, sorry.
No, you're fine. Nolan and girlfriend are boating, and he gets arrowed through the back of the head, so he's dispatched very quickly. Unfortunately, I would have liked to have seen more of him in this movie. Like, maybe his butt cheeks would have been nice. But so he's gone, and then shortly thereafter, I will say it's a pretty cool scene. Like, she's in the water, he's dead. Jason's kind of like stalking her from the shore. And then she gets, like, a machete through the top of her head. And I think it's a cool scene, I think.
Oh, no, I agree. And I just balk my eyes and laugh, though, every time he lifts her up.
And her titties are flubbing?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We, Stu and I have in the past talked about, you know, objectification in these movies and how... In some of the 80s slashers that we've watched, it feels like they're objectifying the men a lot more than they are the women. In this movie, that is not the case.
There's not a single sliver of male nudity in this movie.
Nope. I have that written down. Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point, again, I think nudity in film is fine. I think it should be more equal between, you know, men and women characters, but like this movie, it's just like, hey, how can we get boobs in this scene?
That's exactly it. It's literally like them going, okay, well, how are we gonna get people in this movie? Oh, well, rated R, we'll put some titties in, and they get
all, or just like a hardcore porn scene.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like easily Richie in the like first bit of the movie, that could have been like some butt. We could have easily just gotten, you know, some dude butt.
I'm a fan of the butt cheeks. We can, all of them. Let's show all the butt cheeks.
Even just when he's like taking a piss, just give a little butt cheek action. Like,
give us a little something. Yeah, give us a crack.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I think that I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I do think that this is one of the more mean entries in the franchise when it comes to sexualizing women.
Oh, definitely.
Every single secondary female is topless in the film, except for the final girls. Our final girl and our fake out final girl are the only two that don't go topless. And I'm just like, interesting.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder the motivation behind it. Because again, it's a horror movie. It's a slasher. There's going to be nudity to an extent. But this was, and not me being a prude in any way, but this was almost like frighteningly gratuitous.
It was the writers or writer, I'm not sure, watched Scream and they saw that scene with Jamie Kennedy and they're like, okay, this is the rules I have to apply to this movie. Because we got Wade super excited over weed. He dies. We've got Titty McGee out rubbing her boobs by the campfire. She dies. We got her horny boyfriend who, you know, couldn't wait to fuck her. He dies. Literally everyone in this movie is like a stereotype of a stereotype and they bite it.
I'm gonna pause for a second. We're gonna rewind. We do not have to spend long on it. Titty McGee, as Stu called her, and I can't argue, I don't know her, the character's actual name. She gets the worst death in the franchise. Strung up over a campfire inside of a sleeping bag is horrifying.
I kind of feel like that's a little like meditated on Jason's part. Like,
oh, for sure.
Why? I mean, he's got a machete already. He could easily kill her. Why go through the trouble of he's got to fit her in a sleeping bag first off and then string her up over a fire?
This movie's Jason is my favorite Jason. And he is very...
He's mean.
He's mean-spirited and he's very survivalist. He has that, like, he's the Jason we get in the you know, 80s and 90s was just kind of, he was a hockey mask who killed things. This Jason is meticulous. He has a lair. He is, collecting and sharpening his weapons. He's an archer. He does all of these things because he grew up living in the forest. He's like a mountain man, basically. And I really like that about him.
So what you're saying is that Stu is actually Jason.
Yes, very much.
Okay. Got it.
It's completely possible, but I will neither confirm nor deny anything.
Good. Never confirm.
We love a sociopath in a mask.
I did get a brand new axe for my dad, though, and it's my favorite axe so far, so...
It's gorgeous. Love the fact that as a fellow adult human, you have a favorite axe. I don't have an axe, so.
Well, if my garage weren't a complete disaster and embarrassing, I would show you. I have a whole shitload of axes in my garage because I just keep getting them.
I mean, our home defense, I literally have a machete at our bedside.
You have home defense?
Yeah, I have a machete.
I have a pickle, I guess.
It was my grandfather's machete, and my dad gave it to me, and it is sharp as shit.
I do have a pitchfork in my garage, so I guess that counts.
There we go. Come through, Halloween 5.
Yes.
Very Children of the Corn.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Just call me Malachi. okay, so after... This is another one of those movies where I kind of forget the order of events, but after after Nolan and... Nolan and his girlfriend are dispatched and killed by Jason, I don't know what happens. So we'll have
to figure that out. Jared Padalecki is like shows up at the cabin and takes that one girl who I've seen her in other things, but I can't recall where I've seen her.
Danielle Panabaker.
Yeah.
Our Disney Channel princess.
Is Danielle Panabaker his sister or
no, the other? No, that's Jenna.
It's Jock McGee's girlfriend who, like, he's actually, what's his name? Travis Van Winkle. He always is typecast as the jock pretty boy. Always
he's the one jock. Who looks 45.
Yeah, always a jock, always a frat bro. And he's not actually a terrible actor. Like, I've seen him a couple things where he, like, was taken on a serious role. I feel like, as an actor, if he intentionally lost 20 pounds of muscle... Like, he would not be typecast as bad. But...
Yeah, he's one of those actors who I feel like... You know, there are those actors who are in just, like, every CSI Law & Order show, and they play the same, character. You know what I'm
literally, like, in almost every movie, like, mainstream movie, he literally is always playing, like, the frat bro. in every single one.
It's like the actors who always play like the soldier in whatever they're in.
Exactly.
And that's fine. If that's what you're into and that's what you're good at, go for it.
I just love that his name is Trent in this film, and his name was also Trent in Transformers. Yep.
I just think that it's a douchey name. And I think, no offense to anybody listening named Trent. I know several people named Trent who are great. But it's just like that name when you hear it and you're like, oh, we don't like him.
That's incredibly intentional, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So essentially, we get to the point where we've kind of got like two storylines going on, because we've got Clay and Jenna together looking for Clay's sister. And then we kind of have the rest of the group kind of doing their own thing while also getting taken out by Jason one by one or two by two. And so eventually they do kind of merge and come back together. One of the things that I do not like about this movie is Trent is so unreasonably hostile towards Clay.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it would make sense if they just toned it down a little bit. But he is just relentless in how much he doesn't like Clay. And it bugs me a little bit just watching the movie, because it kind of takes me out a little. I guess it's that, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Insecurity that he has.
Well, okay.
His girlfriend is nice to Clay.
Yeah, my headcanon of that is that because Jared Padalecki is literally a walking wet dream, and he shows up looking all Jared Padalecki-ish. And Trent is like, this dude is good looking. I'm having some gay feelings. Literally, I'm making up stories in my head just to make this movie more interesting.
No, you're totally right, Stu, because I even wrote in my notes that Trent felt threatened the moment he saw Clay. And I literally wrote, Trent felt threatened the first time he saw Clay. Gay. Yes.
Oh, I didn't get that vibe at all. I was not... I tried to tune Trent out of this movie as much as I can, because he gets on my nerves that bad. But sure.
Listen. We love a verbal top. But when you have to be so verbal to convince yourself that you love your partner's tits, that's a little gay.
And well, here's the thing.
That's not his partner.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's his...
That's another thing that really annoys me about this. He's there... like with this group of friends. His girlfriend, Jenna, is a part of that group. And then he's banging their other friend.
And she knows. And she's like, okay with it.
And well, she comes back after all the killing.
Maybe it's like a poly situation. Who knows?
Who knows? She has to know, because the girl comes out wearing his shirt and that's it. Again, he's fully clothed and does not look like he just got done having sex, but she sure does.
Well, and there's also a part where Jenna's, like, knocking on the door while they're having sex. And it's locked. And she just has that, like, oh, bother, not again look on her face. And I'm like, girl, there's a man hunting everybody down and killing them. And your man is banging some other girl. Like, come on.
She hasn't banged Jared Padalecki yet.
Well, spoiler, she doesn't get to. But
which is the most frustrating thing ever to happen, because that death scene was trash.
I like it because it's very unexpected.
Yeah,
we think that she's gonna make it out. Yeah. Let's focus in on a little bit more on some of these like side hunks, because I do think there's some cool things to say. Lawrence and Chewie,
yes,
are
gay lovers.
I think gay lovers, but I also think they're like the two best characters in the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Lawrence, like, he gets a backstory that he's like trying to start a music production company, and Chewie's just so fun. I love every single thing I have ever seen Aaron Yu in.
Same.
And he doesn't get enough credit for his work. So shout out to Aaron Yu. We love you.
I had such a crush on Aaron Yu, because of Disturbia.
Like, He was in that.
Yeah, little 13-year-old me was just so in love with him. And the fact that his ringtone was Me So Horny, like, that was such an iconic side character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then he even, the worst, most forgettable horror remake ever, he pops up for, like, a cameo in A Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake. And I was
I
was so excited to see him in that movie. Holy and it kind of made up, like, yeah, I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe Aaron Yu is in this. And then other people I know, like, that I was in college with, are like, who's that? I'm like, he's in everything. He's literally in everything. And he's like 35 and he looks 20.
Oh, man. I totally forgot that he was in Nightmare on Elm Street for like 12 seconds.
Yeah, he totally is just like on a webcam and dies. But yeah, he's definitely there.
He definitely, yeah, because I always remember being so aggravated with that because he literally dies on camera throwing himself into the webcam. Who uploaded the footage?
Yeah, who posted that video? Freddie?
Who posted it? Yeah, did Freddie do it? Is Freddie technologically savvy now?
That's the least, that's the least of our worries with that movie, but we'll maybe talk about it one day because it does have some hunks in it. Kyle Gallner, hello, call me. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, you disagree.
Anyway, continue. Okay.
Chewie is tasked with going out to the like woodshed to find some tools to repair a chair. It's not important. But while he's out there, we get this what?
Sorry, I'm just laughing because that is literally one of the dumbest side quests.
It's just to get him separated.
I know, but that is the dumbest writing ever. Oh, I broke a chair. Let me go get a screwdriver out of your shed.
And like, he takes so long to do it.
Right.
Yeah, he's out there having a time. He's, like, playing hockey. He's, like, drinking their rum or whatever's. And for some reason, the rum that they store in the woodshed, I don't know why. Rich people, whatever. He has this really fun scene where he just gets to be goofy and fun. And that's what I like about it. But he also gets a really brutal death because Jason shows up in the woodshed and stabs a screwdriver into his neck very slowly.
Oh, poor guy. And then he's like choking on the blood, which masterclass death scene acting we absolutely love you, Aaron Yu, if you are somehow listening to this right now.
It's one of the best deaths in the movie.
Yes, absolutely agree.
I would say definitely. It's probably tied for me with the arrow through the head, just because the arrow through the head is like unexpected and funny. But Chewie's is like sad because we like him. He's a cool dude. He doesn't belong with this group of people who aren't very cool. And they're like, they're mean to him too. So it's even worse that they like send him out to the shed to get the tools or whatever. And he doesn't come back. And I don't know. It's like one of the only parts of this movie that makes me feel sadness watching it because he's so cool and he's so fun. And then he's just gone, you know? How do we feel about him as a hunk?
He is in, I will say, without spoiling my final ranking, he is in my top five.
Okay. And for this movie, that's saying something because there's a lot of them. So
yes.
I will say, without spoiling anything, that every guy in this movie is eclipsed by Jared Padalecki because if that man was in a movie where he just sat there for 2.5 hours staring at the screen, I would pay to watch it.
I understand.
Fully clothed. If he just sat there and it was just a shot of him from like the neck up, I'd be like, you guys, I'm going to go see this Jared Padalecki movie. I may buy 2 tickets. We'll see.
No, I agree with all of that. Two, Ethan, as far as my rankings go, like, he's a lot higher than I think a lot of people would expect him to be. Because again, personality, one, he's cute as hell, but like personality plays a big role into this for me. And he is just like somebody I would love to hang out with.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, so not long after that, Lawrence goes looking for Chewie, I believe. He ends up out in the woodshed as well and runs into Jason.
But he first... Well, firstly, we have Clay and that chick coming back, and what's his name? The friend, the gay lover, who's going to go look for him?
Trent. Lawrence. No. Sorry.
Lawrence. Lawrence is getting ready to beat off on the couch after Tokyo.
Oh, that's right, because he gets the Better Home and Gardens magazine.
Yeah.
He looks at the lady in the sweater, and he's like, you'll have to do.
We love a Martha Stewart lover.
But realistically, even if you are that stoned, who is going to just like beat off in the living room? Did he not get his own bedroom in this gigantic rich person house? Just saying.
He was maybe he's the next he was waiting for Chewie to come back.
Okay, that's true.
There are a lot of possibilities here, Stu.
Yeah, why are you judging where he jerks off? Don't you, like, jerk off in the woods?
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. It's a little unrealistic. From someone who just came back from vacation with a household full of people.
No, here's the thing. I would say with a household full of people, absolutely not. If I was alone in that cabin, absolutely yes.
Oh, alone in the cabin, absolutely.
Listen. But, I
mean, he knows people are around.
Listen, I have had full-on sex in the floor surrounded by six of my sleeping best friends. So I cannot support this anti-exhibitionist rhetoric because it would not surprise me if he was just like, you know what, fuck it. I want to get my rocks off to Ina Garten. Let's do it.
Okay, fair, fair.
Sure, sure. And so, Stu, you bringing up kind of like the series of events also reminds me that this movie is full throttle. There is always something happening. There's not a second to breathe because we've got Whitney, who has escaped from the underground bunker. We really didn't even talk about her, but Jason didn't kill her in the beginning. He kidnapped her because he thought she was his mom as a girl. I don't know. Anyway, she's alive. She escapes from the underground bunker and she's trying to find help. And there's just like three storylines going on at the same time, kind of four, depending on how you split up like the sex and the jerking off and all that. But Lawrence eventually goes out to find Chewie, finds Jason instead. Also, very brutally, he runs off. But Jason just like, again, a shot from the trailer, wings an axe through the air and it just bangs right into his back.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Brutal. Brutal. And then he lets him lay there with it in his back before flipping him over and smashing him down onto it. Like,
and he's using him as a bait, like Clay
says. Yeah, shit.
And it's, again, survivalist Jason is using an ailing, dying person's cries to try to draw other people out. It kind of like gave me like Skinwalker vibes or something. I've been on Skinwalker TikTok recently on accident. And so like probably Stu's fault. He sends me scary TikToks all the time. But
once you go down a rabbit hole, you can never climb out.
We're not even going to talk about Jasper the doll. So
what?
I'm making a video.
Oh, an icon.
Lover.
Jasper the doll.
Oh my gosh, Stu, like Chris said, that's a conversation for another day. I've been a Jasper stan for a long time, and I'm so glad that everyone is realizing who Jasper is, because what an icon.
I'm going to need a link to this, because I'm finding Jasper the doll from Twilight.
No. I'll send you the TikTok because there are certain ones you need to watch first, because now that Jasper has blown up a little bit, they're making videos like every day. And when it used to be like a precious gem that you got every now and then. So, it's so funny. And I discovered Jasper like a week before it blew up. So I'm never really gonna, special.
You ain't never going to find another girl like me.
What's the song? Oh shit, what's the song?
Blue jeans. I don't wanna know if you're playing me, keep it on the road.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to see this.
Oh my gosh, I've been sending Jasper videos to people for literal months, and no one bites it. No one takes the bait. And then now that Jasper's everywhere, everyone's taking the bait. And I'm like, you fuckers, I have been trying to prove to you that this doll is what's going to bring unity to the world for months now. Oh.
Like, so the beautiful, like the beautiful sunset.
Yeah, the beautiful sunset.
The beautiful sunset.
Oh, shit. Okay. Where are we at in this movie? This is a Lawrence,
you can fix it in post. Lawrence just got his back blown out by Jason.
Yeah, but not in a good way. So we've lost now Chewie, Lawrence, Nolan, and we didn't even talk about Donnie, but he's also gone.
We love a mannequin fucker.
Oh my god, I forgot about him for a second. I even like wrote a little note about him because I've got him listed as a hunk.
Here's the thing. I didn't list him as a hunk because I said if I write him down, they're gonna rip me to shreds and make fun of me for liking this like redneck stereotype hillbilly motherfucker. And then it turns out you both like him too.
Oh, he's on my list.
Yeah, he's on mine as well. I don't know why. I think it's because I'll tell you why. He reminds me of He reminds me of Noel Fisher. In a weird way.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, maybe that's wrong, but he does. That's
kind of fucked up.
Why?
Because Noel Fisher's actually cute.
I don't know. I think this guy's actually cute. And like, going back to like story, this guy is a tell, don't show character. Literally, like,
would you want them to show him having sex with a mannequin?
No, if he would have just like uncovered it and been like, oh, hey, Gina, and like touched it, you'd be like, oh, what the fuck? But instead, oh, hey, Gina, remember when we had that special night? Oh, I'm gonna fuck you so hard. I'm just like, okay, I'm over this.
Oh, okay. He's actually not that. Oh, not in that picture. Oh, never mind. Nope.
No. Is he even a character? I don't know. He's just
there. Oh, yeah. He is, because he at least got the awesome gratuitous throat-slashing scene. I love a good throat-slashing scene in a horror movie.
See, I think they're kind of tired.
You're tired.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh no, I love, especially with a fucking machete. Are you kidding me? Ow.
Yeah, and he is also kind of the reason that Jason gets the hockey mask.
He is the reason. It's not a kind of.
Well, I mean, like, he doesn't like hand it to him or anything. Jason just kind of finds it, you know?
Jason just happens to look under a tarp and it's just like Morticia Adams lit up.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, totally.
And that is another thing in this movie. Again, we're all over the place and it's okay, but like Jason goes through the Jason stages in this one movie, because in like Friday Part 2, he was Potato Sack Head Jason, and then he kind of has like a version of that where his head is like wrapped in a towel or something. And then he gets the hockey mask and becomes like Hockey Mask Jason. So we get all of those kind of like Jason eras in one movie too. So that's cool. He's in his hockey mask era.
Yeah. It's giving hockey mask.
But, okay, so Donnie dead, Nolan dead, Lawrence dead, Chewie dead. We have two left, Clay and Trent. Things unfold, our boy Trent, because they knew how much we were going to hate him, he also gets a really cool death.
Yes.
Dude, machete to the balls. But, Stu, I never thought about it really like that, about just how tropey this movie is. It is every trope.
It is. That was my immediate takeaway, which I don't know. I'm a horror movie snob.
I don't think you're a snob. I think you just have a higher standard. You go into this movie knowing almost, except for there's one surprise death, you go in knowing they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to make it. She's going to make it. No, you know Trent is not surviving this movie. From the second he comes on screen, you're sitting there going, I wonder how he's going to get taken out.
Well, also, like, if you're going to remake an iconic horror movie, you need to, like, your goal should be making it better than the original. And going back to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, that remake is just chef's kiss.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun.
Or even like the Hills Have Eyes remake. Chef's kiss. Mm-hmm. Chef's kiss. And then we get Friday the 13th.
And so here's the thing. I enjoy this remake, reboot, reimagining, whatever. I enjoy it. It's not good, but I enjoy it.
I agree with you, Chris.
If that makes sense.
I agree.
I think I enjoy it.
I enjoyed it because Jared Padalecki was in it.
Yeah, for sure. He's a highlight.
He's a highlight. He is the light.
So Trent is macheted and thrown onto the back of what I can only describe as like a pickup truck that has a thresher attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he gets like impaled onto this truck. And because the writers of this movie, for all their faults, they know what a terrible character he is, he literally gets driven off the screen while being impaled. And I think that they did that very intentionally as like a funny, gross send-off for this awful character.
I mean, what better way to get rid of a terrible character than to completely humiliate them in death?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, honestly, it gives me Piranha 3D vibes when the guy's penis gets eaten.
Yes.
Jerry O'Connell. Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell.
They took my penis.
Penis. Yeah, it's very that in the sense of like humiliating, awful character.
Yeah, and we didn't even talk about the fact that he has that epic, like, high-pitched scream moment
when he gets thrown
onto the cop car and he just fucking screams like it's the shrillest. Oh, so good.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. This movie does have a lot of like discussable moments that I feel like because there's so much happening, we haven't hit them all. But
so now Trent's dead, and that leaves what our sole surviving Clay.
Yeah, who makes it out of the movie?
Unfortunately,
you know.
Unfortunately,
no.
He has to live.
Just wait, we're gonna get back to that. Wrapping up the plot: Clay, Jenna, and Whitney. Which Whitney is Clay's sister. They're escaping from Jason. In a shocking twist of events, Jenna gets macheted through the chest. Such a cool moment, but also like I kind of wish it would have been Whitney. I wish they would have swapped that death for the characters. But then again, you know, Whitney and Clay make it out of this movie alive. Do they kill Jason? Maybe it's left ambiguous as if it was going to get a sequel. The movie never got a sequel, but you know, we get that like classic Friday the 13th ending where Jason's dead, but he's not really, and he's going to come out of the lake and kill somebody. So, you know, it wraps up. Like, there's a lot of cool tributes to past Friday the 13th movies in this. Jason smashing through the window behind Clay is like a really cool callback to part 2.
And I remember that part scaring the shit out of me in the theater. Yeah. I knew it was coming, and it still was so effective.
Yeah, Jason emerging from the lake. Very cool callback to, you know, basically any of them. But, and then I even think that something like Trent getting thrown onto the thresher at the end may have been a callback to Roy Burns in part 5, because he kind of gets thrown onto a thresher at the end of that movie, like in a very different way. I think they did take care to understand the series and understand some of those like beats that they had to hit. I just think that the movie is also very sloppy.
Yeah. I think that is absolute nail on the head. Or hammer on the nail. Nail head? Hit the nail on the head.
Head in the woods? I don't know. But,
head in the
okay. How are we going to rank these men? So I gave them numbers.
I gave them numbers and additional info, but I don't know. Do we go like one by one and say it, or how do we do this?
We can go one by one. Here's the thing. I really think that you need to be last because I think have a very controversial ranking.
I have hot takes.
I haven't seen it, but yes. I just from some of the things you've said. So I'll go. Stu, you can give your, you always give hilarious rankings. So I'll get my boring ones out of the way, and then Stu can go, and then Ethan can go. And then we can probably argue about it. But so coming in last place, I have Trent, because you know that I very strictly count personality. And I gave him a 0 out of 10 and wrote "ew no die" next to his name. So Trent is a 0 out of 10 because, again, he has like pretty moments. Doesn't matter. He's the worst. I hate him. Coming in after that, we have Donnie, who I gave a 6 out of 10 because, again, pretty average, but also kind of cute. I gave Lawrence a 7 out of 10. I think he would have ranked higher if we would have just gotten more from him in the movie. But he kind of just fades into the background, and we don't really see or get much from him until his death scene. Then I have Nolan and Chewie tied with both 8 out of 10. I don't know who I like better, but I'm leaning towards Chewie because he's so, like, goofy and fun. But Nolan, he has that, you know, like we said, that Sean Cody vibe. So they both get an 8. And then Clay takes it in a landslide because I gave him 100 out of 10.
As you should.
And Ethan lets out a dramatic sigh. Stu, how do you feel?
Well, okay, so we've got Surfer Boy, who I've already, like, gushed over a little bit. The sociopath. He gets, I don't know, he gets, like, 10 out of 10 hair flips from me because he's insanely attractive. But he's only in there for a minute, so he's, like, last on my list. Or, like, maybe second, because Trent is conventionally attractive, but he's a douchebag, so he didn't even get a rating. And I've already said, like, my man Jared is just, he's the star of the show. This movie was about Jason Voorhees, but Jared Padalecki, he gets 100 out of 100 boners from me, because he's just, every part of that man, they just... He's my horror honk. And he's in so many horror movies that we're going to have to review more, and he is already going to make top of the list.
Yeah, we could even do maybe a Jared Padalecki appreciation episode sometime, because I've also been talking to somebody who wants to do a Josh Hartnett appreciation episode. So maybe we could just pick... Yeah, we can just pick hunks to just gush over for an episode. It's fine.
Like mini-sodes. That'd be a great idea.
Yeah. How did you feel about, like, Chewie and Lawrence and Donnie? Did you rank any of them?
Who?
Damn.
Oh.
Damn. Okay.
It's not my fault. They put Jared Padalecki in this movie because they, you know, they were intentionally like, we have to get a big name, attractive actor. And they just did not anticipate that everyone else in some people's eyes would be completely eclipsed. And I don't know. There's some other dudes in this movie who get murdered. I don't know. My floppy haired boyfriend makes it out alive, and that's all I care about.
That's true. Okay, Ethan, give it to us.
Oh, God.
Be prepared for a fight.
Okay, I'm prepared for a fight, but I'm also feel like I'm overprepared because I ranked every character. And I'm, should I start it with my favorite or my least favorites?
I say go bottom to top. How God intended it.
I love bottoms. Okay. So first off, we're going to start with my honorable mention, because the gas station attendant gets an honorable mention from me because of his delivery of the line, "some gas." I don't know. It's just, what a charmer. And then, so my number, what is this? What is that? 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes. Number 11 is coming in with Donnie, the creepy guy who fucks the mannequin and licks the porno magazine. I gave him 0 mannequin arms out of 10 because grody. And then we have at number 10, we have Nolan. Again, the lights are on. There's no one home. I'm not a big himbo fan. It's not really my kind of guy. So I gave him 2 wicked blowjobs out of 10.
So you've adopted a new way of ranking.
Well, I mean, I tied in the movie to my ratings, of course.
I love it.
So then number 9, we have Wade, who, again, he's fine. I gave him 3 weed plants out of 10. And then number 8 is Clay, Jared Padalecki.
Wait, what?
Never got the Jared Padalecki craze. Never. Never understood it. He looks like Dollar Tree Alice from Twilight.
Hold up. I'm gonna let you finish, but how many people are on your list?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Oh, 11. I miscounted.
And he is number
11, 10, 9, 8, 7.
Yep. So he is in your bottom half.
Yes, and honestly, I thought about making him the bottom, but I couldn't. I couldn't look past the mannequin fucker.
Blast all right, everybody.
Me.
Yeah. All right, everybody. I know.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Horror Hunks.
It's been so much fun.
You're gonna go.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I don't know. I never got the Jared Padalecki face. I didn't like his sad, I'm unconventionally pretty boy roles that he did, like this and House of Wax, and oh my god, give me a break.
Okay, let's keep the list a rolling.
Anyway, okay, so then numbers coming in at number 6, I have Trent. He is the horrible douchebag, false alpha wannabe, and I hate that I would do really bad things to him under the bleachers. And so I gave him 6 popped collars out of 10. And then number 4 and 5 are tied. My Lawrence and my Chewy, my gay lovers. I definitely gave them 4 and 5 because Chewy is just, again, I had such a crush on him. So I gave him 8 shoot the boots out of 10. Yeah, and then Lawrence, I gave him 8. Help me, oh my god, help me! Out of 10. And then number 3 is Mike. Because again, I'm a sucker for the curls, and I loved his little sacrifice he did. So he got 9.5 curls out of 10. And then my number 2 is actually going to be very shocking to you both, because he was not mentioned on this episode. He is a male character that was not talked about, and who is one of the hunkiest hunks of them all.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Sheriff. I don't. Sheriff Brack.
Never mind.
The sheriff, Richard Berge. Do you guys not remember Richard Berge?
I just now remember him.
Oh my god.
He was in the movie for like 45 seconds.
Yeah, but he got a fire poker through the fucking eye, and it was awesome. And also, I just was in love with Richard Berge around that time because Harper's Island came out that same year. And so I'm just like, he gives me such like rich, super rich, hot daddy vibes. And so he got 15 fire pokers through the eye out of 10. Sheriff Brack is my number 2.
I can't even picture this man, just so you're aware.
I will text you a photo because he is just gorgeous. So that leaves the number 1, which is Richie.
Oh my god.
Richie is my number 1.
Wow.
We love a sex crazed, I'm not going outside of that tent with a boner, green eyes, lovey dovey, oil boobs. You know, just, we love a DTF king. And so it's because of that, Richie is my horror hunk of the film, and he gets 28 machetes to the head out of 10.
Oh.
Okay.
I told you, I'm a controversial, I told you I was going to be controversial.
I disagree, but I also disagree.
I will say, I don't disagree with like Richie being high. Like obviously Stu and I, like we didn't include the guys from group one, and you kind of had to for your ranking because one of the guys from group one is your top. But I don't disagree with him being high on the ranking. He's very pretty, but man, and like I think your Chewy and Lawrence ranking is good because like they're, you know, pretty high on the list. But you, my main problem, I don't even necessarily care that you put Clay so low, but you put Trent over Clay.
I did.
That's understandable, disgusting. But shocking.
Disgusting.
I will not apologize for who I am. But also, you can't be too shocked about my Richie Ricking because you've seen My Significant Other. They are pretty similar in appearance.
Oh my god. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have a type.
I very much do.
Okay, so this brings us to a conundrum, and I am going to say, so we've got, Ethan says that Richie is the top hunk. I said that Clay is the top hunk. Stu said that Clay is the top hunk. And so by democracy alone, I think Clay has to win.
I mean, I'll give it to you. It's your guys' show, but just know that I'm going to go to bed disagreeing with you tonight.
It's okay. We can call it a tie. We can say that because you had Clay
No,
it's fine. You said that you had Clay so low on your list that it kind of cancels out some of our ranking of Clay. So we'll give it a tie today. Richie and Clay. Richie is the winner of group one. Clay is the winner of group two. Together, they stand on that throne and hopefully they kiss.
Oh, I would watch that.
I'd watch that.
Or at least we get some butt cheeks.
Yeah.
I would also watch that. Why not both? Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap this up. We've been recording for an hour and a half, and it's going to be a bitch to edit this.
Mega monster episode.
Oh, we're going to make a Jasmine the Doll episode. So, Ethan, do you have, like, anything that you want to plug? I don't know, like, what you've got going on in your life. And do you want to tell us about your socials?
Oh, do I have anything I want to plug? No, I am wholly uninteresting. So I will say you can find me if you want on Instagram at Jurassic Spastic, one word. Yeah, it's been awesome. You guys have been a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on.
No, absolutely. And we are going to invite you back for every episode in which we discuss a movie that has Jared Padalecki in it. So be prepared for that.
Yes. I would be honored. I will have a full dissertation written up on that episode.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Horror Hunks. Your hosts were Stu Forrest and me, Chris Waltz. Our special guest co-host was Ethan Galzinski. Join us again in 2 weeks when Stu and I hash out the top hunk of the season in the Horror Hunks Battle of the Hunks. Horror Hunks is a Dead Oaks production with music produced by Ben Bryles. Find us on Twitter at Horror Hunks. Until next time, stay horny, don't die.
I don't wanna know if the pain be keeping on the low, 'cause my heart can't take it anymore. And if you're creeping, please don't let it show.